Thank you for taking the time to do this interview. I know you're a pretty busy fella with everything you got going on. Is this your first interview ever?
Yeah, this is definitely my first interview, and honestly, this will be my last interview. This is not something I planned on ever doing and not something I want to do again. When you contacted me, I was interested that you actually had some people that knew about Black Ops hypnosis and just underground hypnosis in general. So I figured since you have a following per se of people who are interested in this, that it might be worth letting a little bit of the light out, so to speak.
That's cool. Thank you again, man. I've just got a few questions, some from hypnosis friends, some emails from curious people around the world, and some questions that I've come up with myself.
Great. I will. I'd be glad to answer anything you have. There's a lot of people involved in this industry that do not like to answer some questions. It's generally a positive industry, which is obviously a good thing. But yeah, I'd be glad to answer anything you can throw my way.
Awesome. Well, let's get started. All right. First question. There's different types of hypnosis, such as Black Ops or Underground. This is really the first place I've ever encountered these names.
Yeah. There are many types of hypnosis, and a good way to describe this is you have cars, you have a Ford Tempo or a Fiat, and then you have a Ferrari. So taking that analogy, some hypnosis is going to be weak, some hypnosis is going to be trivial, some hypnosis you do every day and may not know it, and then you have the Ferrari of hypnosis, which is combining many different elements, elements like NLP, mass hypnosis, and the Black Ops hypnosis that me and a select few who like to remain nameless have developed ourselves over the years. And Black Ops is different than regular hypnosis. It's an obscure form. Developed and kind of kept between a small group of people. It takes the most effective areas of all these mind-related activities we have as humans and translates them into an area-effective route of human behavior. It's we like to call it cracking the code. Once you crack the code and you use NLP tactics and hypnosis tactics and area conversationalistic tactics and really examine the brain, you can do some really amazing things that was honestly thought not possible for many, many years.
Wow, that's freaking crazy. I can't wait to hear more about these techniques. How often is covert hypnosis used, and has the average person been hypnotized?
Covert hypnosis, interesting subject to say the least. How often is the average person hypnotized? I would say the average person, it depends if they're TV watching or not. TV watching, definitely daily. Any kind of commercial you see, that kind of thing, and I'll get into that. Covert hypnosis is, I think, used constantly with people who don't know they're using hypnosis. Now, people who are using Black Ops techniques or underground hypnosis, then that is someone that is intentionally doing it. I would say it's pretty rare right now. Now, that's one reason I don't. I told you I did not want this made available to the public, because these kind of areas are you don't want everyone knowing the secrets to covert hypnosis. But to answer your question, the average person being hypnotized, mass media hypnosis I think is probably the most common, and that's through Coca-Cola. Would, in my opinion, be one of the biggest companies to do mass media hypnosis. So refreshing and all that kind of stuff that you probably figured out. Most world leaders, political groups, and all that follow and read up on mass hypnosis, Hitler being probably the biggest ever. And you can see the power he had, and we look back and think, my God, how is that even humanly possible? Well, using tactics that will be explained later, that kind of power can be held, which is very scary. And let's see, a lot of people hypnotize people by accident, especially people in sales, car dealerships and real estate sales, and even the guy selling you a laundry machine, or a microwave, without knowing it that they're trying. I think probably the most prevalent and the less talked about, which I think is interesting, is televangelists. And especially here in America, we have a couple of channels that are devoted to that, and it's really scary to watch these people in action. But they definitely used advanced techniques that And we've picked up a lot on some of those techniques as well.
Advanced techniques. Can you tell me a little bit more?
Yeah. Those are what I like to call advanced predetermined language patterns. Now, anyone who knows about hypnosis already knows about language patterns and speech patterns and using those for hypnosis and that kind of thing. But predetermined language patterns is different. That focuses on predetermining what they're going to say, what they're going to do by body movements, by watching them, by stereotyping. And when I say stereotyping, that's figuring out the type of person they are. And by watching them and knowing the kind of answers you're going to get from them. Now, predetermined language patterns also come from bending things they say to get, to change their mind and get reactions you want. So those are Black Ops tactics. The Iron Man pattern is one that that is just very effective. And so those type of advanced language patterns beyond just, you were getting sleepy or something like that, really taking it to the next level of changing someone's mind in front of your eyes. Those are...
So kind of taking control of conversation.
Yeah, taking control of conversation of really any aspect of your life, which is, language, obviously the most powerful thing we have as humans. Mm-hmm. And so many people don't think about it. So many people just walk blindly down the street and just use language to do this or that. But if you... you spend years and years in a basement studying it. It's amazing and strange how you can find yourself on top of any situation. And I think if you find most famous, successful leaders and that kind of stuff, they've spent the time to crack the code.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, okay, the Iron Man pattern, you mentioned that.
Yeah, that is that would probably be one of my claim to fames, between the underground. Iron Man pattern, essentially, we... I tried to diagnose so many situations where you end up finishing a conversation and saying, God, I wish I would have said this. I wish I would have said that.
I've done that.
It's horrible, horrible feeling. So how can we not only never say that, but if we want, make the other person say that? How can we bend the social pattern of linguistic power, just torture it to our end and have any means of explanation, of advance, of whatever we're looking for in that simplistic measure and pull it into our realm and make it our, the kings of that conversation. First of all, and I'll go ahead and if you don't mind, explain the Iron Man pattern. First of all, instant confidence booster. I think that's probably the most important part of it. Advanced self-hypnosis. And what that would mean is hypnotize yourself before you go into any type of situation. And this is a pretty common use if you're familiar with hypnosis. The basic levels is would be doing self-hypnosis. You can't hypnotize anyone without hypnotizing yourself. And that is really as simple as telling yourself, relaxing your body, knowing the intention that you have, and telling yourself you're going to do it. And I mean, hypnosis is not complicated. Now, the Dark Arts version or the Black Ops and the Underground, it is a little bit more complicated because you're getting into more social patterns and controlling social patterns. But actual hypnosis, self-hypnosis, we'll talk about that in a bit. But anyway, I don't want to get off subject too much. So terminating patterns of speech, to me, that is the main part of the Iron Man pattern. You want to steer conversations. We call that steering. And steering is very important.
Right on. Wow, that's pretty intense. Can you give me an example of that?
Of steering?
Yeah.
Sorry, I guess I didn't even finish the Iron Man pattern. Okay, so steering, I'll give you a great example. This is one that most people find themselves in a predicament with about every day, and that's the negative person. Like I said before, you really want to isolate people to stereotypes, not in a negative point, but figuring out what type of person you're dealing with. You're not going to nail it. That's why we call it stereotypes. You're going to be way off sometime, but if you don't try to nail it immediately, this guy's a negative person. All right? He's going to be throwing comments that are negative to get a reaction. He's going to try to make me feel uncomfortable. How can I conquer that? I use a good example that I know has happened to a lot of people. The guy at work, let's say, that rags you about being late. You're 2 minutes late a lot of times for a meeting or for work and whatnot, and he's always right on top of that, just trying to to really call you out. So here's how I would handle that. First, self-hypnotize, which we discussed earlier, but not to veer off subject, I'll get back to that. After you self-hypnotize, you're full of confidence. You have no nervousness. This is similar to getting rid of stage fright. That's a common use in hypnosis. A lot of people, you know, are just like, please, I don't want to have stage fright. With self-hypnosis, that's easily done. All right, so right when you come to work, this guy says, you know, Todd, my God, you're late again, man. You know, he's ragging you about it. So instead of not replying, which is a bad idea, just to sit there and look like an idiot, or even worse, replying in a defensive tone, you know, well, what are you, I'm not late, you know, I'm just a couple minutes late. That's not a good idea. He thinks he has control over you, and he does have control over you if you start using those type of language patterns. But here's what you do. You ignore his comment completely, and you follow up the ignoring his comment with a compliment towards him.
Kind of kill him with kindness.
Kill him with kindness, yes. And you know, for this one, if he says, you know, Todd, I just can't believe, you know, that you're late again. This is ridiculous. Look at you. You're always late. Then you reply, you know, with something like, man, you know, I saw how you did on that report yesterday. That was unbelievable, you know. Wow, how do you just nail it like that? Now, he thinks he has control then. He's probably a little confused because you totally didn't even pay attention to his negative comment. But he thinks he has control. But let me tell you, you right now already have control. The reason is because you're setting him up. Now, he might think he has control, but that's where the control in you lies. Once you have him set up and you know what's going to be happening next, he still is going off a totally random conversation, but you're steering him. You're already steering him. So he thinks he's a great guy. He's thinking, wow, not only is this dumbass late to work every day, I'm getting great reports. Now, that's when you hit him with a decompiler. Decompiler conveys his negative actions, quickly explains how interesting it is that you never do that. Something like this, and you want to be happy about it. Always have a smile. That's the key here. You don't want to be negative because he's negative, so you got to fight that by pointing out his negativity and being happy about it at the same time. So if you can say something like, man, isn't it funny how people are so different? For instance, you were constantly focusing on my trivial negative points like being late. Yet the first thing I thought of when I saw you this morning was how good you did on that report. And that seems awkward. That is awkward. That's what you want. You want to make it awkward. He made you feel awkward when he mentioned that you were late every day to work. And that's not, you know, so if you're going to combat that, you have to combat with a negative identifier on him and point out what he does after you give him a compliment. You were Mr. Good Guy. He's a total asshole. And he knows that. So the control is already in your hands. It was awkward when he was negative because he had the control. Now it's awkward to him, and you are not negative because you have control. Shift the bearings of the conversation. But the key here is do not follow that up with any kind of self-negativity. Don't ever bring up, but, you know, I'm not trying to bring up something or anything like that. Be confident, cool, and you do not want to put the flag in his hand. So just to break it down quickly, he gives a negative comment. You give a compliment. Then you point out, isn't it interesting how you always are negative, and I'm, you know, was bragging you on this. And then the key here is, this is so important, stay silent and smile. I don't care if it's for 10 minutes, do not talk next. He has to be the one to talk next, because that's when he'll start backpedaling. If you don't get the backpedaling from him, then it's not as effective. So then, usually when they backpedal, they'll attempt to make themselves look good. But just stay silent, smile, nod your head, positive Mr. Nice Guy, and let them try harder. It is amazing, this effect, and because I do work in a normal environment, and it is amazing after learning these kind of underground techniques and using self-hypnosis before these techniques and getting involved in this kind of stuff, the type of control I really have over my total office. And it seems simple, but the whole point of this is, if you're not thinking about everyday interaction, everyday vocal patterns, everyday, you know, cracking and hacking the human brain, then you are setting yourself up to lose.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. I can see how being more prepared for a conversation definitely helps in its outcome. I'm a little confused though. Is that actually hypnosis?
That's a good question. Hypnosis, as we said, is language patterns. Actually, I would even say hypnosis is advanced language patterns. Black ops techniques of hypnosis.
It's like knowledge of advanced language patterns.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Like, kind of like making a science out of how we just have a conversation.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So with black ops, you have, you know, advanced language patterns with concealed preparation and advanced scripting mechanisms. Okay. Now, what you want to do is walk into a situation, know if you get a negative identifier, you can come back with, it doesn't matter if it's pre-scripted. If everything is pre-scripted, that's not bad, because people are so, in general, I hate to say, people are so stupid, they're going to pretty much shoot the same things every time. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a negative person, you're going to have the rich asshole guy, you're going to have this guy. You can pretty much break them into groups, and they all are saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. So if you have predetermined scripts, just something simple and happy to say, and then point out their negative things and then steer them. I mean, you can take that wherever you want. That was just a quick example off the top of my head, but you can take that in any direction you want to take it in. Actually understanding the techniques they are forcing on you and preventing their actions through dissective thought interrogation is the difference between black ops techniques and simple, regular hypnosis like you can read about on a million websites.
Yeah. You're going to fall into a trance.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, that's great and all if you want to, quit smoking or something, but if you want to, do like I do and control your whole work environment and, This stuff is so powerful. I mean, I've had a lot of people ask me before, friends of mine, well, what about like getting a raise at your job or something big? Yes, I mean, any of that is possible. I mean, the it seems crazy, but the point is, it's all about how much you want to think about it. If you sit at your house and all night you're thinking about different ways to get a raise, all right? So let's say set up your boss. What type of person is he? How can you get in and be his friend? How can you make him, see value in you? What can you do to make him, regardless if it's busting your ass at work or not? A lot of times that's not the secret, A lot of times if you can use your language patterns and dissect him and slowly use negative identifiers on him, and you obviously wouldn't want to point it out directly, like the negative guy. But the boss guy sometimes sits on his little high horse, and it's good to let him know that, hey, I'm the power guy. I'm coming in and taking care of this shit, Mm-hmm. And so anyway, a lot of people have asked that. Yes, I mean, that's a much larger routine than winning a simple conversation. But anyone that tells you it's as simple as, walking in and looking at them and going, I'm going to get a raise, it doesn't work like that. But it does work. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. So you were saying something about the hacking, like you're comparing the human mind to a computer.
Yeah. And that is... that's an interesting subject and something I think we will in the next 20 years see a lot more of information on this.
With the advents of AI and all.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, biological computers, it's, our mind is a human computer. It's, I don't know if anyone listening knows much about programming. Programming works basically on computer programming with if-then statements. If this happens, then that happens. If they click here, then take them to here. From simple HTML to more complex C++ assembly language. And I used to study that before getting into mind manipulation. A human mind does the same exact thing. So hacking the human mind is simply figuring out someone's if-then statements. And once you have that control in your hand and you have complete control over where that goes from being a raise to, making her fall in love with you or to whatever, it doesn't matter. Once you know the if-then statements and you can crack the code, then you can crack the code, and that's what you want to do. Hacking conversations and even deep versions of hacking hypnosis, what the general thoughts of relaxing the body, doing this or that to induce a state, regarding and going with intentions, because you can only hypnotize people who have the intentions of being hypnotized. Now, you can use black op tactics to change intentions, but you can't hypnotize someone specifically in the book sense without them having the intention to do. I mean, there's just so much depth. It's, we could sit here and talk about that forever, but.
Okay. So, let's talk a little bit more about basic self-hypnosis, about, steering your own intention.
Okay. Basic self-hypnosis. All right. I'll use this is a classic example. And if someone's listening and you do a lot of hypnosis or hypnotherapy, then I'll use one that you've probably heard a million times, but it's a good entry. The wake up example. If you wanted to wake up, for example, I wake up at 7 in the morning every day, and I don't use an alarm clock. I don't sleep till 7:01 or 6:59. It's 7 o'clock in the morning on the dot. Everyone has an internal clock, and you see evidence of this all the time. If you think, man, I got to be there in 30 minutes, and then you feel a shock in exactly 30 minutes, and you look at the clock, and you realize that it's time to be there, and you're late. people don't realize that we all have an internal clock. What you want to do is give yourself the intention for sleep. Remember, you cannot hypnotize without intention. A good way to do the wake-up example would be relax from toe to head. A lot of hypnotherapist professionals say that you want to relax from head to toe. I don't agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Once you relax your brain, it's kind of hard to think.
Yeah.
And that's the thought process behind
that's kind of like meditation.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. It is a meditation.
Devoiding your mind of all thought.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why if you can end with your brain, if you can start and say, I want to relax my toes, as many body parts as you know. And, you know, go
just
up your body.
Just kind of start from the toes and work up.
Yeah, and work up. I want to relax my calves. I got to relax my thighs, my kneecaps. I mean, it does not matter. You know, the more in tune you are with it, then the more effective it is. And then once you get to your head, you want to relax your head and then say, I will sleep great and I will get up at 7 o'clock in the morning. And then a lot of people use a countdown method from then. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then you're asleep. And you really do fall asleep immediately. Now, I'm not saying that people are going to do it the first time. Some people are.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, it really depends on how much you believe it's going to work, mm-hmm. and how much your intention is. Intention's the key. But, you can use similar techniques for any situations. It's all about intention. And even when you're doing it with someone else, it's the same idea that it works the same. They must be relaxed. They must have intention. There's a ton of remedial books on this subject. This is something that you can find out pretty easily on self-hypnosis, but the black ops obviously is not covered in any of that stuff.
Okay, so you have to have intention. We're seeing here that black ops really does kind of work.
You have to have intention, and black ops does work. Now, it's kind of funny because black ops focuses on more the subject not having intention, but the point is to steer intention. That's kind of like how we went with the Iron Man pattern. They have to. Oh, sorry.
Oh no, it's kind of like mind chess.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is a big game of mind chess. And once you checkmate, then you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And using Black Ops social patterns, you can change their intention. Using advanced NLP, you can anchor them, and that changes intention. Examples of changing intention: steering like the Iron Man pattern. Black Mirror operation, which is get someone to open up immediately. No cleaver techniques we use, hypnotizing someone in normal speech while you're talking to them.
Okay, Black Mirror, no cleaver, NLP, can you expand on these a little bit?
Yeah. Let's see, I'll start with Black Mirror. Actually, I'm going to start with the most famous, which is NLP. That's an easier one. A lot of people might already know that, too. That's not a real hidden or rare form.
Okay.
NLP is it's a very famous technique, very powerful. There are others in the underground techniques that also deliver results, but NLP is the most common one you're going to see and hear about.
NLP?
Yeah. Neuro-linguistic programming. That's basically human brain programming. The main black ops use is in anchors for NLP. It's pretty much all the black ops. The No Cleaver, the Black Mirror, the Iron Man, it's really good to use it in conjunction with NLP anchors. And what an anchor is, I'll give you a common anchor everyone uses, they don't know that they're using an anchor. If you've ever bet money on a sports game, played in a sports game, sold something at your business, regardless, just met a girl you really like, you might come home, see a buddy, and give a high five.
Mm-hmm.
Now, probably when you were really young, or it probably climaxed where it's happened a million times, something happened, you felt really good, you know the hairs on the back of your neck are standing up and you're just like, oh my god, this is awesome, no matter what it is, and someone put up their hand, you high-fived, and that pain that your hand splintered through when you hit was just associated with this awesome feeling. So now anytime you high-five somebody, you kind of get that feeling, and that's anchoring. Now you can use a very subtle version of anchoring in conversations to bring up feelings of good feelings or bad feelings, really depending on what you want to do. And this is just on NLP. This isn't about Black Mirror, No Cleaver, any of that kind of stuff. Planning an anchor. I'll give you a really good example that a friend of mine did. There was a girl at a wedding that he was really into. And, obviously girls love weddings, and this buddy of mine was single. And right when the bride, he was sitting next to her, and he was working out, he really wanted to try to get her phone number. He was sitting next to her, and the bride went up and kissed the groom. And right when that happened, he grabbed his chin, looked at her, and kind of rubbed his chin and said, God, isn't that awesome? And the girl, you could tell, was already excited about being at a wedding. And so she immediately, you know, was like, oh, wow, you know, this is the climax of the wedding. And she didn't know it, but she associated that chin grabbing, that chin rubbing with the wedding and with that good feeling. So later on in the evening, every time he would build up conversation with her, and this guy, he's a total genius, he breaks down pretty much anything into Black Ops, you know, patterns. And I mean, he's a great guy, just next level. But anyway, so he ended up getting her phone number, but he, you know, part of the reason was anytime he talked to her, he'd rub his chin and she would see that, and subconsciously it would feel good. And he was talking about, he could literally see her hairs rising on her arm every time he rubbed his chin. It was just really amazing.
Wow. Okay, so Black Mirror, no cleaver?
Yeah, let me give you, let me tell you about these. They're Black Ops tactics. Remember, we got hypnosis is intentional control. NLP is going to be brain programming. Mm-hmm. And Black Ops, the best way, underground hypnosis is really NLP plus hypnosis plus social dissection plus language manipulation. This is the quick breakdown answer for it. That's what it basically is. It's a conglomeration, but without using all these techniques together, really, in my opinion, NLP, hypnosis, and language manipulation is all okay, but when you use them together is when it gets powerful. Black Mirror operation, getting someone just to open up to you, to really like you, mainly used on a first impression, whether it's getting a job interview, it doesn't matter what impression, a random person on the street. But here's a great example of how to do that. I'll just do a step-by-step. That'll be easier. You want a calculated opener. Now, this depends on the person. You want to, you know, stereotype someone enough to know what you're going for. A really horrible opener that people use every day is, hey, how about this weather? You know, that pretty much tells them, well, how about this boring asshole? You know, I mean, who cares how the freaking weather is? You know, that's not important. Now, here's something that I know someone used in an interview, actually. He was interviewing me with just this bigwig, rich, you know, type guy, and he had on a really nice watch. Guy didn't even know what, you know, type of watch it was. He knew it was nice. So he's like, man, how about, you know, those new Cartiers? You know, this guy had enough to, you know, enough social, you know, matter and know-how to go to, you know, look through magazines and stuff before he went to this job and try to, you know, get up real quick on the rich stuff, you know, kind of know what was hot. And he saw that Cartiers had a new line out that were advertised a lot in one of these fashion magazines. So he tells his boss, man, how about, you know, those new Cartiers? Those are just absolutely killer. And the boss automatically is like, wow, you know, who is this guy? You know, he has this nice watch. He's obviously a watch enthusiast. So he talks about it. You end up breaking in the conversation. Automatically, that boss liked him. He got the job. You know, if some other guy comes in there, is like, man, how about this weather? You know, he's like, yeah, well, everyone else has said that, you know, the weather, you know. But this guy immediately, using language patterns, could get him to open up. Another one, let's say you're at the grocery store, doesn't matter, Blockbuster, wherever, and someone has a tattoo on them. Notice tattoos if you want to get in with someone who has a tattoo. If it's a pit bull, then look at them and say, hey, man, my pit bull is sick. I just dropped him off at the vet. You know, it's, you know, God, it's just breaking my heart, or whatever, you know. I mean, just something, doesn't matter if it's a, you know, tattoo of a college sports team, talk about that sports team. Just notice your surroundings. And people don't ever get tattoos of things they don't like. So if that's always a really easy one. You want to find common ground immediately, whether it's a tattoo, a watch, a shirt, a hairstyle, shoes, any kind of apparel is always a really easy one to use. But you want to do that and pick subjects you can comment on. Don't pick something you have absolutely, you know, no knowledge about. So you're going to look like a total dumbass within 5 minutes. I mean, it's important to pick something you know something about, and it's important to know as much about as many subjects as you possibly can too. I mean, I personally research stuff at night. I mean, if you're going for an interview with a rich guy, go get a magazine called The Rob Report. It's nothing but just crazy, you know, rich stuff. You know, honestly, it's just focusing your brain power on getting people to open up.
Details, like looking at the details.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
No,
let's see, body language, this is still on the Black Mirror technique, that's important, and that's why it's called the Black Mirror. You want to mirror things they do, mm-hmm. And that's where I came up with the name. Body language is very important. You want to mimic their body language exactly. Now, there is exceptions for this. If someone's really mad at you and puts his hand up and you know, he's mad and he's shaking his fist, obviously, unless you want to piss him off more, you don't do that. But in general, if they're laid back in a chair, you need to be laid back in a chair. Mm-hmm. People like people like them. People are so self-absorbed and selfish that that's what they like. Mimic their speech pattern. That's another really important one. If they're talking loud, then you want to talk louder or not. And watch their
even accents.
Yeah, definitely. I know a guy named, well, I can't say his name, but I know a guy who has accents nailed down, and it's been a huge bonus. And also, it's not just body movement, but you need to do eye movement. If someone's kind of shifty-eyed, stay shifty-eyed. You know, it's just being aware of your surroundings. And a lot of people are going to say, well, look, this sounds like, you know, mild hypnosis techniques, but once again, it's breaking down brain patterns and breaking down.
Just trying to make them comfortable in your presence.
Exactly. You feel exactly. At home. And it's this
that's
is
where the mirror comes from, I guess. Like
exactly.
Trying to mimic.
Exactly. It's a mimicking process. And then once you have them, remember, this is all conversion. Once they convert to like you, then you can use hypnosis, mild hypnosis, and different flank panel techniques to bring experiences to different, you know, interrogation levels, or, you know, mild, you know, hypnotic levels, or, you know, find out information, you know, covert, find, you know, people that are lying and that kind of stuff. I mean, it goes on and on.
Wow. That's crazy. So no cleaver then.
Yeah. I guess that would be the last one. Hypnotizing someone in general conversations, the no cleaver technique, all these, the Iron Man, the Black Mirror, no cleaver, all work together. Remember, NLP anchors, I'm not mentioning that probably as much as I should. Those are you know, just significantly powerful to use in these type of situations. So basically, break down a normal, I'm just going to go through the no cleaver quickly. It's not very difficult, just a lot of people hadn't thought about it. Break down normal hypnosis scripts and put it into the conversation after a Black Mirror. So you Black Mirror someone, they like you. You know, first, if they're, you're having a difficult time with a person, you Iron Man them. Then you have confidence. They are kind of slightly shattered. Then you Black Mirror them, and so then they like you. And then the last one, you know, cleaver them, which is basically slipping in hypnosis scripts very slowly. If you're having an hour conversation with someone and it takes that long, you can slip a hypnosis script that would normally be done in 5 to 10 minutes. You want to pull it into the conversation and use anchors and hypnosis patterns to break it in slowly. Display self-value, show you are all-knowing, memorize some mindless trivia. I got a friend of mine who knows all kinds of just the stupidest trivia you could ever imagine, but it works though. People, you know, buy into that and they start believing anything he says. It's amazing. But also, I'll tell you a really good ESP trick, and this is still on building value, which is a very important part of no cleaver. But great ESP trick. Once you're in with someone and y'all are laughing and that kind of stuff, ask them to pick a number. Actually, I'll do it on you right now. How about that?
Okay.
Pick a number between 1 and 10.
Okay.
7.
That was 7.
Yeah. and the secret behind that is 90% of people will pick 7 every time. So so that it's but look, there's a ton of little ESP tricks like that out on the net that we've picked up on, and that value adding incident on the no cleaver makes it a lot easier to subtly hypnotize someone through speech patterns. Remember, with the right combination of words, you can hack a mind just like a computer. It's possible. You know, do not give up. There are two types of people. You got the prepared and the unprepared. So make sure your brain's code is shatterproof, and words are the most powerful thing you have. So make sure that you are more prepared than the person you're talking to. And using Black Ops techniques and NLP and hypnosis, you can do some crazy shit, honestly.
Well, wow. You've definitely got me believing in all this. You haven't been hypnotizing me, have you?
No, I have not, which actually I have. Yeah, hypnotizing is compared to daydreaming, honestly. And people are completely conscious when they're hypnotized. So it's not, once again, listeners who already know advanced hypnosis, this is just a quick rundown. People won't go against their will. So it's not that that I could hypnotize you right now into doing something, because I haven't been using Black Ops techniques or covert. Mm-hmm. And people are constantly hypnotized. I mean, they don't know it. And once again, ask the televangelist. But with Black Ops techniques, that's when you control the situation. That's when you take it That's when you take your average person that says, you know, hypnosis is always intentional. You know, that's not really true, though. It's if you combine it with heavy artillery, mm-hmm. and, you know, just like, you know,
research.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Iron Man patterns. Like I heard someone explain it when I finally taught them how to do it. They're like, it's like I feel like I'm at war in a conversation, and someone's shooting me, and I'm grabbing those bullets. And I have my bullets, and I'm putting them in my gun and shooting them back with twice as many bullets. And I said, that's exactly what it is. You're taking, you know, if you can feed off someone's negativity and shoot it back to them, and then, you know, let them sit there naked and then make them like you. I mean, think about that emotional roller coaster you put someone on within 5 minutes.
To break them down.
Break them down, make them like you. And then take
kind of like the Marine Corps, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like the American military. That's right. But yeah. So it's crazy. We talked about televangelists some and mass hypnosis, which I think is just fascinating. But some of the things televangelists do that just to give you examples of hypnotic patterns and how now they don't use many black ops techniques because they are
they're not dealing with people one on one.
Yeah, they're not one on one, so it's kind of tough to do that. But everybody stand up. And then everyone stands up. Everybody sit down in a low voice. You know, everybody stand up, you know, when it's a big point. And I'm talking more about, I'm not saying churches in general, I'm talking more about these way over the top televangelists, you know, who are falling on the ground and that kind of stuff and making absolutely millions of dollars, mm-hmm. you know. And, then turn to page 129 of your Bible and all that kind of stuff. They're you know, telling you to come in front of the congregation to do this, to, you know, give money here, to, you know, do this. And people are falling like sheep. And you'll find there's not many public speakers that have that kind of crowd interaction. There's besides the televangelist groups, you don't go to many rallies or that kind of stuff where they're like, everybody stand up, you know, get out a book and turn to this page. So it's really, those are mild hypnosis techniques that are used a good bit.
Right on. What are some other forms of mass hypnosis?
Mass hypnosis, obviously ad agencies, I think are probably the biggest out there, those in televangelists.
That's pretty freaky.
Yeah, I guess this isn't on the air, so I can say I think the government would be a huge, you know, entity with mm-hmm. hypnosis. Anyone that thinks that something that powerful hasn't researched, you know, something that obscure, you know.
Insert conspiracy theories here.
Yeah, you know, put those right here, because that's definitely an easy target for hypnosis.
So do they actually use black ops?
They use super duper crazy underground black ops that we won't find out about probably for 50 years. No, I'm not too much of a conspiracy theorist because I try to spend my time more focusing on language patterns and how to deal with my own current reality. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that there's some techniques that we have no clue about that are being used out there, whether it's the government, whether it's other secret societies like our own, whether it's, God knows. There's a lot of free thinkers out there, and those are the people who are writing the rule books.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Some closing questions.
Okay.
How to never wait in line. I know there's just some things that just some people are interested out there, just basic stuff, but, like, how do you not wait in line?
Like at a restaurant or something, or...?
I don't know. Yeah, like a restaurant or like movie theater or a club. Just, okay, so getting into a club, yeah.
I got you. Just reading something that someone wrote you, so you're kind of okay. Yeah. Never waiting in line. That's a pretty easy one.
Mm-hmm.
Using basically the, you wouldn't have to do an Iron Man on that.
Yeah.
But you could use a Black Mirror mm-hmm. and walk up, compliment. But not cheesy compliment. And remember now, one person to get, it depends on the person. If you're talking about a club or a dining institution or something like that, it'd be different than a movie theater, in my opinion. Most people that work at clubs and hostesses at restaurants are really full of themselves. They're used to people kind of kicking their ass, especially if it's a good-looking girl or even guy.
Mm-hmm.
A good way would be, which I'm glad you brought this up. I did not mention this in the Black Ops thing. You know, it's part of stereotyping is figuring out what's going to be effective on mm-hmm. people. In this situation, if I was at a club and I was with a girl and I wanted to skip the line, I'd walk up and do a negative identifier on the person. And which is kind of strange because, you know, I want to get this person to like me. But also, there's so many people who are kissing his ass who want to get in that club and want to do this and want to do that. using a negative identifier, you can make yourself stand out immediately and then start going in with other Black Mirror effects and you know, mimicking his body and doing all that kind of stuff, and then use no cleaver stuff to you know, to really get the fulfillment. But I haven't waited in line for a club in years.
Yeah. All right. How about making money with hypnosis?
You'll find the most common will be hypnotherapy, which is you know, which is not hard to do. I would say besides that,
well, ad marketing possibly after
yeah,
all.
Yeah, well, yeah, said, definitely yeah. True. After, you know, yeah, talking about mass hypnosis and that kind of stuff, then, you know, the televangelist, or, you know, which I do not recommend anyone to go out and be a televangelist because of mass hypnosis, not a good foundation. But yeah, yeah, definitely doing stage shows, doing ad agencies, and really, I think the truth is making money with hypnosis. No matter what you're doing right now, if you use some sort of black ops techniques, you can make more money. It doesn't, I don't care what you, even if you're getting paid by the hour and you have no kind of commission break on anything, you can get a raise. I mean, it's possible.
All right. Can you hypnotize your way out of any situation?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Using, and once again, the more difficult the situation, the more difficult, the more hard it is to crack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're getting pulled over by a police officer that hates red cars, and you're driving a red Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Then he hates Ferraris, hates, you know, people that drive, just can't stand the color red. You know, so you got more to deal with. And so breaking, you know, that kind of code would take more, you know, it just depends on how prepared you are. But yeah, you can hypnotize people out of any situation as long as you can first get them to, you know, change their intentions, and then slowly use a cleaver technique on them. Yes, mm-hmm. You can.
Okay. And do we have internal clocks, and how can we use those?
Yeah, internal clocks. I talked a little bit about it before. We definitely do. Another cool self-hypnosis trick to try is if you were up all night with a screaming baby or whatnot, you can actually make yourself fall asleep for 10 minutes mm-hmm. and feel like you slept 8 hours. You can fool your internal clock.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do that, then you were totally rested after 10 minutes of sleep, just like you slept a full night.
Okay. How do you bring someone out of a trance?
Really simple. If you did nothing, they would eventually come out of a trance anyway.
Mm-hmm.
No one can get kind of, you know, stuck or anything like that. So you just plan a trigger and really tell them to come out, really. It's as simple as that.
Okay. How would someone use hypnosis with people never knowing? I guess you kind of answered this.
Yeah, one. Yeah, that one's kind of been answered. It would just be the what we coined the no cleaver, which is taking hypnosis scripts and breaking them down real simply and really slowly and inverting them, you know, subconsciously while you're talking.
Closing comments. You got anything else to say? I want to thank you, for this interview and all.
Yeah. Busy. Well, no problem. I enjoyed it. Closing comments. Just, you know, don't forget how powerful language is. You know, to emulate other people and to emulate exactly words for words what I'm saying is going to only hinder you. You want to come up with your own openers, your own, you know, patterns, your own things to say to people, and your own ways to stereotype and figure out what type of person is going to be saying what. And once again, remember, stereotype is not a negative point, you know, like it is in day-to-day. This is a different definition for it. But, there's nothing wrong with self-writing and having a script. I mean, I know people that carry books with them that have, you know, the possible if-then statements for any kind of social pattern or conversation. And so, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing that. You know, it might seem a little dorky, but it works. Think freely. Don't just read books. You know, try to write your own book. That's something I know a lot of people who have tried, and it's worked well. Instead of trying to just read up on every bit of material you can have, which is good. Don't get me wrong. You want to read as much material as possible, but you want to free think also. You don't want to just be a slave to everything you're reading. You want to actually find stuff and find it out yourself and write your own books, just like we did. You wouldn't be hearing this interview right now if all me and my partners did was sit around and emulate everything, you know, else other people are doing. Make new ideas. That's important. The biggest part of all of this, and the hardest part to break, I think, is to learn confidence. And people, you know, sure, self-hypnosis works, but the quickest way to learn confidence without being a super advanced hypnotist is just to get turned down a lot. Go to the mall and just talk to random people and see if you can talk to them about, you know, if purple pigs are really real. You know, I mean, something that you know you're going to get shot down on, and do it all day long. Do it 50 times, you know, until you have no... I mean, if you can walk up to someone and ask them if purple pigs are real and try to make them have a conversation about it, then you can talk to anyone about anything. So, but the most important part of all of this is analyze everything. Do not let anything be said or slip past you without analyzing it as close as you can and trying to realize what why it was said, how it can be reacted, how it can be counter-reacted, how it can be, you know, figured out, and patterns can be broken down. Just don't forget to try to dissect everything that you hear and see, and visually, you know, imagine the conversation you're having with someone and how you can manipulate it into another steering direction. You know, once again, the purple pigs. See if you can actually honestly get someone that you're talking to talk about purple pigs. We do it all the time, actually. It's very interesting.
That's awesome. Well, thanks again for your time. I know a bunch of people out there will be getting a kick out of this conversation we've had. And, yeah.
Well, cool.
Take it easy.